Our scripture reading today will be from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. And in the Pew Bible, that's on page 1045. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son of God also, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. We also know that the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. May God add his blessings to the reading of the scriptures.
Thank you, Betty. Thank you, Jim. I guess it's just one of those days. The old spiritual goes, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Glory, hallelujah. All you have to do is look around. Take off the blinders. Watch the news. Look in your neighborhood, or maybe turn and look at your neighbor on the pew with you. You'll see people, perhaps who are suffering, but certainly folks who have experienced suffering of various types, whether disease, poverty, hunger, war. We know that death has touched even some in our church family in recent days. And death will continue to touch our families in various ways throughout our lives. Now, we could go on and on and on, but when I chose sunshine in my soul today, I didn't want this to be just a downer day. So we'll kind of stop there. But it doesn't take much imagination to look around and to see some of the suffering. And it doesn't take very much, really, for us as human beings to get bogged down and wonder if there's any hope, to look at various options for discovering that hope, from chemicals to hiding to counseling. And many times we come to Jesus, even in our prayers. And that's a good thing when we do, if we come to Jesus understanding fully who He is and why we can count on His help in our times of suffering. The spiritual reference just a few moments ago, as well as the text that we read today, rely on Jesus' knowledge and Jesus' experience of humanity as a whole, replete with its suffering. But because of this, the song can end not just talking about nobody knows the troubles I've seen, nobody knows but Jesus, but because Jesus knows those, the chorus can end glory, hallelujah, because Jesus has been there and knows what we experience. When we begin looking at the letter to the Hebrews, we find that among the major questions with which Hebrews deals is the question, why did the Son need to become a human? Why did the Son need to share this human experience? After all, He's Son of God. He's part of the triune God. It's a major consideration within Christianity, as opposed to a lot of other world religions. There are many world religions in which a god or the gods either doesn't taint himself by becoming flesh, or in some, there's the teaching that God, because God is truly God, cannot taint himself by becoming a human, becoming less than God. Within Jewish and Christian thought, there are many enemies that we face. Among the gravest of those was death. It is death that causes the most fear. Sometimes I wonder, and don't get me wrong, I'm not hurrying to pack my bags and go anywhere. But sometimes I wonder, we talk about the glorious kingdom. Sometimes we sing about, can't wait until we get there. But then we take vitamins and supplements and we eat well and we go to the doctor and we go to hospitals and we do everything we can to avoid going. Some of that, quite frankly, might be underlined with fear. With fear. Sophocles, the philosopher, taught that though men may conquer everything else in the world, they are vanquished by death. And Jews and Christians believed that who had the power of death? The writer here says very clearly, the devil. The devil had the power of death in the world. We share the bondage of that fear of death. But then again, Jesus knows the troubles we've seen, having shared death in a horrible way. His purpose in entering life is dramatically shared here in verses 14 and 15. Since therefore the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. Ask people, why did Jesus come? And they'll say, well, to save us from our sins. Yes, that's true. Others will say, so that we can get to heaven. That's true. Some will say, so that we can avoid hell. That's true. But here, the writer of the letter to the Hebrews says that Jesus came to crush the tyrant and free us from slavery. Slavery to the fear of suffering and death. Through his participation in our humanity, becoming one of us, frail at times, sharing in our weakness to hunger and to thirst, to temptation, which he overcame. The perfect Son of God becomes his people's perfect Savior. Because of sharing our humanity, the writer to the letter of the Hebrews says, this perfect Savior opens our way to God. Opens our way to God. Whereas before, and even oftentimes today, we kind of shut the door. Do we not? Instead of being open to God. F.F. Bruce, New Testament theologian of last century, writes, and I quote, "In order to be a perfect high priest, a man first must sympathize with those on whose behalf he acts, and he cannot sympathize unless he can enter into their experience and share them for himself. Jesus did just this." End of quote. Kind of as a little sidelight in thinking about that, I sometimes can't help but wonder how ministers in certain denominations who have never been married think that they can give really good marriage advice. But that's another thought for another time, perhaps. But that goes along with this understanding that in order for anyone to share, in order for anyone to be able to sympathize or empathize, we must first have been there in some way or another and experienced that. And Jesus did that for us. This action is the supreme evidence of His complete identity with human beings. He is not a Gnostic Redeemer that looks like a man but is a spirit figure. Jesus truly shared our humanity. Think for a moment. With Jesus' ignoble death, the hopes of so many had died. I mean, the disciples went into hiding. When the women came and said, "We've seen Him, He's been raised from the dead," they didn't jump up and down for joy. They didn't believe. They didn't believe them at all. The hopes of so many had died because they were looking for an earthly king. But Jesus' death and resurrection proved to bring greater hope than they could imagine. Their disillusionment suddenly turned to triumph and to victory. As Bruce writes, "If death cannot separate the people of Christ from God's love, which has been revealed in Him, it can no longer be held over their heads by the devil or any other power as a means of fear and intimidation." Suffering and death should not be used as fear and intimidation. In fact, because of what Christ did, not just in His death and resurrection, but I would submit in living through the persecution, in living through the human life that He did, as we do, nothing that we face should intimidate us to the point that we are scared to death, frozen in our tracks, deer in the headlights, afraid. If death cannot take away that hope in Christ, all other suffering loses the power to intimidate and overcome us. In verse 16, the text says that Jesus became man in order to help us. He bypassed even the angels. Jesus didn't come to help the angels. Jesus bypassed the angels to become human, to take hold of. What the word means, to take hold of, to help and liberate persons and bring salvation. It's the same idea when God takes hold of the children of Israel and leads them out of slavery and bondage in Egypt to bring them to Himself. The suffering of Christ is fitting, according to verse 17, because He had to be made perfect, that is, fit for the task. And in order for Jesus to be fit for the task of saving human beings, Jesus had to become one of us. As a result, this high priest can also give a priesthood characterized by mercy and faithfulness because he has been there and found mercy and found faithfulness. Even living as a human being, even suffering persecution, suffering death, Jesus found mercy from God the Father and found God to be faithful. I mentioned this before. I have a poster. Actually, it's tucked away in a drawer. I guess I need to find it and get it out again. But this poster says, "Jesus died believing that His Father would raise Him from the dead. ... And He did." He experienced the faithfulness of God so that we too can find faithfulness in Him. Jesus is a pioneer who shows us the way, according to Hebrews. He is the one who creates a path for His brothers and sisters. It is He who defeats the devil and the power of death, who is a high priest offering sacrifices for our sins. And the text here says, who is our advocate before God, interceding for us even when we are being tested. His purpose for us is pastoral. Jesus' purpose for us is pastoral, especially now. No angel in heaven could know what it is like to be a human. The ones being tested through life, which includes suffering, are helped by the one who was tested. As New Testament writer Joseph Cotton states, God in His final word to men has spoken in a Son who shared God's nature and was the agent of creation, and who in Jesus, the great high priest of the universe, entered into the experience of man when he was at his neediest, in temptation, in suffering, and in death. Jesus didn't come to us when we were on a high. Jesus came to humans and showed us the way when we were in temptation, in suffering, even when we faced death. The Greek word in verse 18, and I will read verse 18 again. Because He Himself was tested by what He suffered, He is able to help those who are being tested. The word here for help, boethesai, means literally to run to the cry. To run to the cry. It speaks of running to the cry of someone who is in distress, someone who is in need, someone who may be pouring out their soul and not finding any relief. The writer of Hebrews says, when we are afraid, when we are being tested, when we are suffering and cry out, we have a helper who will run to our cry. We have one who has suffered temptation, rejection, even wrongful death, and is now our high priest. He is our champion. He is our intercessor. He is the one who withstood temptation and suffering victoriously. As the spiritual says, glory. Hallelujah. But it is not just about thanking God for help in our suffering. Once we receive that help, we can't relax. As my friend and colleague Edgar McKnight writes, and I quote, we see what it means in practice to confess Jesus Christ. What does it mean to affirm that Christ is pioneer if not to follow the path He gives us? To affirm that Christ is champion who defeats the devil is to live a life of freedom from enslavement to fear. To affirm that Christ is high priest and our advocate before God is to depend upon God for our spiritual security. The challenge to practice our conviction about Jesus Christ is the same today as it was to the original readers of Hebrews. End of quote. If we fully believe that Christ is our pioneer who breaks the pathway for us, then it is incumbent upon us to follow that pathway. If indeed we believe that Christ is our champion who defeats suffering and death and the devil, then it is incumbent upon us to live lives of freedom in Christ, free from the fear of suffering and death. And I would contend, as Edgar says, to affirm that Christ is high priest and our advocate before God is depend upon God for our spiritual security. Yes. But it also means that we who are Christ's can be advocates for each other when we experience suffering and distress. In and through Christ, we have help for all of our suffering. We're to help others through their suffering because we are His brothers and sisters in the kingdom of God. Not just waiting until way out there. But trust me, in our own way, our suffering, our troubles might be different. But we all experience suffering. We all experience troubles. And we can rest assured that Jesus knows and sing glory, hallelujah, with our lives of service. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You give to us that high priest in Jesus, who has been where we have been, and yet, even in the middle of terrible suffering, found Your mercy and faithfulness, just as we do, though sometimes we overlook it. Reassure us that we have help in all of our suffering in Jesus our Christ, but also renew that call that we sing glory, hallelujah, as we help others to overcome their suffering as well. It's in the name of Jesus our Christ that we pray. Amen. Our concluding hymn, our hymn of decision, is hymn number 344, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. As we stand and as we sing, our altar is open. To receive that grace, all we have to do is ask for it and accept it. Hymn number 344, Grace Greater Than Our Sin.